The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you to the second hour of the program. And there certainly is a lot of news today, and we are trying to do our best to update you on the latest with the situation in Los Angeles with Tiger Woods. He is currently in surgery, according to officials out there. It is not life-threatening. If you have not heard the news, he was involved in a one-car crash earlier today in Los Angeles, immediately lifted and sent to the hospital, where we are hoping to learn more information as the afternoon goes on. For those of you on TV, for those you are looking now at the car he was in. It rolled over, obviously, several times. People on radio, it's hard to imagine coming out of this, a car rolling over and over. But sources continue to report that the injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. We will update you on more on that in a couple of minutes with Mark Schlabaugh. Ross Bjork, it's always great to have him on. He's the Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics at Texas A&M University, and so many things are happening out there. Ross, so thank you for the time. It's wonderful to talk to you, and I know it's been a very long week in the state of Texas, and the Aggies have done a lot to help. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It has been a long week.
Let's start there, because one thing about Texas A&M, throughout the course of history, it has been there whenever this country has needed the school and the great students and cadets. And this week in Texas, it served the community and the state as well. Tell us how the university played a role in trying to help people.
It's a great question, and one of the things that's so neat about Texas A&M is we have these core values, and they're not only listed on buildings and statements, but we live them out, and one of them is selfless service. And so one example is we got a call last Tuesday if Reed Arena, our basketball venue, our volleyball venue, could be used as a warming shelter. That call came through the city of College Station, through the Red Cross, and the immediate response was, sure. When? What time do you need it open? We went through some logistics, obviously, with COVID. You had to take a few extra steps to check some things out, but that was just one example. And the only thing we did is we opened the doors. Volunteers from across campus, volunteers from across the community, they came and staffed it. They had blankets, they had food, they had water. And all we simply did was open the doors, and they took care of the rest. And Our core cadets went around to all the different buildings and walked around to see if there's any pipes that were frozen, see if any pipes that busted. They did that on their own. So many examples like that throughout our community, throughout our state. It was a tragedy. People lost their lives. People were without power and water. Water's still recovering in lots of ways. But it just showed great example that we can be leaders, we can serve, and that embodies Texas A&M on many, many fronts.
Ross, I've seen reports that things are getting better. It's warmer, but the trauma of a week like this doesn't go away easily. How are things right now?
What's crazy is as we sit here Tuesday a week ago, it was probably in the low 20s. The sun was shining, but an ice storm was on its way, and that really compounded the problems. And now we sit here today, and it's 70 degrees. And we've got a baseball game tonight, and we're playing a tennis match right now outside. And so a week goes by, and the weather's totally different. So we're thawed out. Everything is de-iced, unfrozen. But there's a lot of damage. When pipes break, that leads to flooding. That leads to drywall damage. That leads to infrastructure damage. We have 10 buildings inside the athletic department complex and footprint that have some sort of damage. Some are way worse. There's some major damage in our track and field facility. And then we just have a couple of busted pipes. Kyle Field, being as big as it is right now, where my office is located, has not had water turned on the last couple days as we triage the different impacts. The university, We've got 125 buildings that have had some sort of damage here on this campus. So a lot of aftermath, a lot of cleanup, not only on our campus, but within our community. And Texans will have to rally and come together, and that's what we continue to do.
Chatting with Ross Bjork. Ross, I know in the year of COVID, you can't predict the next day, let alone what comes after that. But I know it's been a tough time for the men's basketball program. What is the latest?
Right. The latest is we remain on pause as a total team. We're able to do some individual workouts, but a majority of our student athletes remain in quarantine. We were ready to play last week. We were ready to play Alabama. We pushed that game to Thursday, at 2 o'clock because of weather. Obviously, the game ended up getting canceled. We were ready to play Arkansas on Saturday night and probably would have played with probably six players for that game. But we were ready to play. And then we had another positive case within our program that came up on Friday morning. So we put everything on pause. We did start to do some individual workouts early this week, yesterday. Today's Tuesday. Started those on Monday. And obviously the Kentucky game is off for tonight. And we have to evaluate where we sit this weekend and see what happens. The last regular season week of men's basketball is upon us. And so we need to see where we are. Health and safety is the number one priority. So if that means we have to miss a few more games in order to get all of our guys back to be safe and healthy, that's what we have to do. It's unfortunate that we're in this position because we went so long within our men's basketball program without a single positive case. And then one bubbles up and that leads to two or three. Despite having the best protocols, despite Buzz Williams approaching this as direct and as sincere and really with the utmost care as anyone I've seen in the country, it can still happen. Right across the hallway, our women's basketball team, we're 20-1, we're number three in the country, and they're doing well. Knock on wood, they continue to stay healthy. So you just never know, but that's why the protocols are in place, and that's why health and safety is paramount in all this. But we also have an obligation to play. And so that's where we are, and we hope to get back up and running here very, very soon.
And Ross, on that subject, I know how concerned you have been, and how diligent your staff and the entire university and the entire SEC, for that matter, has been about protocols. And you were in the news the other day when the NCAA extended the dead period with some comments, and we haven't had a chance to have you elaborate on that. What are your concerns about what is currently going on?
Lots of concerns, honestly. Even though we've been able to recruit on Zoom and things like that, recruiting is the lifeblood of any program. And so if you're not able to have families and young men and women visit your campus and look coaches in the eye and talk to our academic people and see all the great things that are on all of our campuses, we're really doing a disservice to those young people, let alone our programs. And so my point, my frustration, is we've heard of kick the can down the road. Paul, the can is at the end of the driveway. Like, we can't kick it any further. And so to further delay without any clarity on what happens, it's one thing to delay to May 31st, but what happens on June 1st? Where's the plan? Where's the clarity? And so that's really where we need to get to. And those conversations need to happen. I'm part of a student athlete experience committee, and we're trying to push some things forward. And so that was really the frustration. Is it's one thing to delay, but at some point in time, we've got to provide a plan and have clarity to the young people, to their families, to our institutions, on what does life after a dead period look like? What is life after, as we get out of COVID and as we have more people vaccinated, we can safely host these people and these recruits and their families on our campus. Allow us to do that. Allow us to move forward. And so that was really the frustration between last week. And now we just need to keep rolling out a plan and concepts, and hopefully we can get there.
And Ross, with an eye to the future, and everyone knows how difficult that is, but what are your thoughts in relation to fall now that we are moving into spring here very shortly, and people are going to want to know what what's the football season look like, especially for fans?
At this point in time, Paul, as we sit here today, obviously there's a lot that has to still unfold. And like I said, vaccines are rolling out and more people are getting vaccinated by the day. Protocols are in place and we need to stay diligent. We sent out our season ticket renewals on February 4th, and we sent those out to a full season ticket allotment. So all the people that had season tickets in 2019 and those that bought new season tickets in 2020 and maintained their tickets in 2020, they received a renewal form. So our mindset right now is that we expect to have full stadiums. We expect to have full experiences. There was a study that was done, you probably saw it, in the last couple of days about NFL and NCAA games, that games did not lead to spreading events within counties and communities. So there's a lot of good data that tells us that we can host these games safely. There may be protocols in place. We may be wearing face masks and face coverings. But our intent, as we said here today, has to be we've got to get back to normal. We need to, again, follow data, follow medical advice, our public health officials' advice. But we want full stadiums. Our fans expect that. We want the Aggie band back on the field, all those things that go with it. That's how we're moving forward, and that's the mindset as we sit here today.
Ross, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time, and certainly our best to everyone out in Texas. Come back soon.
Thanks, Paul. We'll see you down the road.
You bet. I look forward to it. Ross Beaur joining us from College Station with the absolute latest. So we'll take a break. More of your phone calls as we work our way through the afternoon, and an update on the condition of Tiger Woods. That coming up as soon as we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back on a very busy Tuesday afternoon where we have been following the news from Los Angeles, where Tiger Woods was involved in a horrific accident earlier this afternoon, and more and more information now becoming available. We are now joined by Mark Schlabaugh, who has been covering the story all afternoon. Mark, thank you very much for the time. What is the latest from LA?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Paul, what we know is Mark Steinberg, his agent, sent out a statement saying that Tiger was in surgery for two leg injuries. I was told by a representative of the LA County Fire Department a little while ago that he had to be extracted from the windshield of that vehicle with the jaws of life and was transported to UCLA Bay Harbor Hospital, where he's undergoing surgery. The injuries are not life-threatening, but talking to a couple of PGA Tour players, they do fear that they are significant.
Yeah, and Mark, I apologize, because any question I'm asking you is just putting you in a position of speculation. I know you're way too good of a reporter for that, but what do we know in terms of what happened? I realize, you know, we don't have a lot of witnesses at this moment, but what do we know about in relation to how did this happen?
All we know is it was a single car accident. He hit the center median and went across the other lanes, and the car appeared to have flipped over a couple of times. If you saw the video footage, it was on its side. There was significant front-end damage. I know police are looking at traffic cameras to see if there was another vehicle or an animal or whatever that you know, might have caused this accident, but that's really all we know as of right now. I think he was coming down a hill, and I saw a police spokesman or a sheriff's department spokesman say that is an area where you can gain significant amount of speed, and that his car did appear to be traveling at a high level of speed.
Yeah, and Mark, not to sound like I'm a Los Angelinian, I'm not, but you're right about, anyone who's ever seen shots of that community, it's up and down, mountain after mountain, almost every community, it's treacherous coming down. And not only are those hills very steep, they're also blind at a lot of places, as you well know.
Yeah, no, when I was out there for the Rose Bowl a few years ago for, what was it, Georgia, Oklahoma. I mean, when you get back up there into the hills, they are winding, treacherous roads and can be very dangerous. And it was at 7:12 this morning. I don't know what the weather conditions were in terms of fog or visibility or those things. It's just, we'll have to wait and see when we get a traffic report. But the L.A. County Sheriff's Department is in the middle of conducting a crash investigation.
Mark, beyond the reporting, I must ask you, as somebody who's covered some of the biggest sports stories over the last 25 years, when you hear something like this, we almost go into a certain mode, don't we? We think the worst because we've been here so many times before.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hope and pray the best for him. I mean, first and foremost, it's not life-threatening, it's not life-altering, and he's able to recover. Whether or not he's able to get back onto the golf course is a matter for another day. But, it's similar to what happened with Kobe Bryant and other things. I mean, it's just, you fear the worst, and certainly he is arguably the greatest player to ever step on a golf course. And you know, if he's not able to come back, it would be a significant loss for the PGA Tour.
And on top of that, Mark, this is not just someone who won a lot of golf tournaments. As we both remember, when Tiger entered the scene, some 20 some odd years ago, he took over the mantle as the most talked about and famous sports athlete in the world. And that's saying something for playing the game of golf.
He's one of the most famous people in the world and has been for quite a while. I mean, he transformed the game from, let's face it, Paul, an elitist white sport to a game that all of a sudden attracted a lot of young people and attracted a lot of people of color. So, he completely transformed the game's popularity, and the purses on the PGA Tour went from a couple hundred thousand to a few million. So every player that preceded him and competed against him certainly benefited from Tiger being out there.
Mark, as we wrap up, and I appreciate you coming on with as you continue to report this. A big story like this, it's not like, information is easy to get. You're one of the best sports reporters in the country. How difficult is it to ascertain what you are looking for, which is credible information?
I mean, it's difficult. I mean, I'm fortunate that I've covered golf the last few years for ESPN, but it's hard when you're in Atlanta and the crash happened in L.A. I mean, fortunately, we've got people like Ramona Shelburne and Shelly Smith on the ground there. I've talked to Ramona a couple of times already, but you got to have good sources within the police department and the fire department and the sheriff's office, and there are a lot of people out in L.A. who have better sources than I do right now.
Well, I don't want to be admonished by your bosses for keeping you away from working those sources, but, Mark, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Paul.
You got it. Mark Schlabaugh, one of the best out there. And not to get into the other side of the industry, but a story like this is we all know what the most important thing is, but the information is scarce. We're talking about one of the biggest television media markets in the world. That's not a local market. That's an international market out there. When you when you consider what's out there with Hollywood and the entertainment, you know, it's the capital of the entertainment world. And, you know, sports and entertainment collide here. And, you know, the most important thing is, as somebody in Mark's shoes, is just don't get erroneous information. And, you know, sometimes it does end up on TMZ and on other, you know, more salacious websites than ESPN. But that's what you have to be careful about. I know this goes against what all of us were taught coming up. You'd rather be right than the first person to report something here, especially with someone's life. I was about to say livelihood, but that's probably not even the case anymore. Tiger Woods, regardless of what his golf game looks like from here on, will forever be one of the most important and influential figures in the sports and entertainment world. We will take a break. We have a lot more to do. We appreciate Ross Bjork coming on at the top of the hour. Thanks to Mark for giving us the latest on Tiger and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We don't expect too much more news on Tiger until about 6 p.m. Eastern time, when the L.A. Sheriff's Department is scheduled to meet with the media. We will update you, of course, if anything breaks prior to that. And we will try to listen in on some of that coverage in about an hour and a half. I also apologize. We've not had too many opportunities to visit with you on the phones this afternoon because of the breaking news. It broke literally a couple of moments before we came on the air. So I do apologize. But if you want to get in now, we will get back to some sense of normalcy at 855-242-7285. That is our number. And Patrick is in Massachusetts, and you are on the air. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Well, thank you.
That's good to hear. Hey, I have a quick question for you. I've been a lifelong Arkansas Razorback fan. Obviously, we've been through some dark times, but you know what? We're not talking about those anymore.
Of course not.
Better days on the horizon. We've experimented with some different types of coaches. We don't need to go into details, though. My question for you is, what do you think next year is? I have a couple questions. One is about the Hogs and the other is not. My first question is, how do you think the transition to what I'm assuming is KJ Jefferson is going to look like? When you have somebody like Felipe Franks, who's frankly a veteran, and he's been around the block and knows what he's doing, and you're going to somebody who's like KJ Jefferson, he had some really good moments in the Missouri game, but do you think he's ready for prime time?
Patrick, that's a leap of faith question, and I don't know enough about him to get too deep into it. I do know this, that Arkansas had to learn how to win. And they did, and I also know they had some incredibly unfortunate games, Auburn being exhibit one, that they should have won and they didn't. So I really felt good about last season, even though the record only showed 3 wins. I really like this coaching staff. So the quarterback question remains significant, but. What is absolute fact is that Arkansas finally has a legitimate head coach for the first time in recent memory.
Absolutely, I would totally agree. I mean, when he was first hired, I was a little bit skeptical, but you know, had to keep the faith. And obviously, the other hire by Hunter Yurecek is paying off very well right now.
Hunter Yurecek is winning the lottery when it comes to hires because. I mean, think about it. Who has done? I mean, every athletic director, you know, has hits and misses, but that combination is pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was very, very pleased when I saw the product of the field this season, especially with such a depleted roster and a COVID scenario. I think you really kind of strung gold out of straw, if you will.
No, I agree.
And then my second question is totally unrelated to the Hogs, but. I did see, these couple of coaching hires that have happened with, the departure of Gus Malzahn from Auburn going to UCF. What do you think about that, as well as the hire of Josh Heupel, sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name.
No, you got it right.
At Tennessee. I mean, that's, Yeah. I mean, that to me, the Josh Heupel hire seems kind of like last ditch, but at the same time, who are they going to hire?
Patrick, over there. I think ultimately, I think we were all a little bit like, what, when it happened, but and we'll talk to David Ubben in a couple of minutes about that, but I think they made what I would call a safe hire, and it may turn out to be a solid hire, but I think Malzahn is a home run hire, to use that cliche we've all overused in the past. He has so much experience, knowledge. He's one of these guys, and I'm willing to bet a lot of people in the audience, I've been there as well, have you know been in a job where you just needed a change of scenery. It's a cliche again. I hate to use cliches, and I've used two in the same conversation. But you know, he just needed to get out of Auburn, and they needed him out of there. And I think he'll do quite well. But you know, Heupel has an opportunity to do well once he gets through the smoke.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is he's. I feel like he's kind of entering at a disadvantage because you have so much smoke and clout surrounding that whole program right now with the allocation. What was it? The McDonald's bags full of cash.
Yeah. I mean, Patrick, it's like he. Stuff. You know, you ever been you see a war scene and it just takes days before all the black smoke goes away. He's been there a month and it still hasn't gone away yet.
Right, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm on episode 3 of Band of Brothers watching this program.
Exactly.
But, yeah, well, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Living in Massachusetts, don't really get to talk much college football, and everybody's still clinging to Doug Flutie here. So it's great to talk to somebody, and I appreciate taking my call.
Patrick, we're here all the time. Call again soon. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. And Josh is in Nashville. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Josh, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
First off, a friend of mine, my math tutor, I'm helping him with his band. Could all your audience please check it out? Check it out on Facebook. It's Victor Beat.
Okay.
And secondly, I wonder why when I've watched Tennessee this year, seems like their basketball team, they're shooting wild threes, and they just wish they would just go in the paint more. It doesn't like go in the paint. Use our bigs and go in the paint instead of shooting the wild threes. I don't.
Yeah, no. Tennessee's been an enigma in basketball. Fulkerson's had an unusual year. It seems to me, and it's always easy to be a cynic on the bench, but I would like to see a few more adjustments in game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Maybe our guest already went back to his Facebook page. Thank you for the call, regardless. How about Lucas in Seattle? Hello, Lucas.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
First time caller here. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I don't know. I know you're more of a football guy, but I don't know if you've seen any of the SEC baseball games from this opening weekend. And, you know, if you have, just any – what are your, you know – initial thoughts on what's been going down with that?
Yeah, a couple of things. I was a little surprised by Florida's weekend. I think they lost 2 out of 3 to Miami, which did surprise me. I was, you know, Arkansas and Ole Miss, and I didn't see every game, but I saw a couple of games. I thought Arkansas and Ole Miss looked really great. What games did you see, if any?
I saw two of the Florida games. Very surprising. You know, yeah. I thought they were going to be a lot better, a lot of unforced errors. And with that, I watched a lot of the LSU this weekend. They didn't look as good as I thought they were going to. You know, on Sunday they lost to Air Force, really fell apart. And then they looked really bad the first few innings against Louisiana Tech yesterday. But then they kind of pulled through. But LSU was a little bit surprising. And then I didn't get the Ole Miss game, but – I did see, and they beat some very good teams.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I defer to others in terms of expertise. I'm a fan. I just consume a couple of moments here and there, like everyone else. I do think it is early to form too many strong opinions. Season doesn't end till late June, but there could be a lot of reasons for the inefficiency of some of the teams. But I'm glad you called. Thank you. Great to have you on. Go from you can't go too much farther distance as the crow flies from Massachusetts to Seattle. And we just did. We'll take a break. More calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. David Ubben at the top of the hour. We've already talked to Ross Bjork. We had Mark Schlabel on talking about Tiger. John Wilner from the Bay Area on the Pac-12, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, updating the story of the day, and that is the horrific crash in Los Angeles involving Tiger Woods. He is currently in a Los Angeles hospital undergoing surgery. Officials say it is not life-threatening, but if you have seen the video of the crash, it's hard to imagine that he has survived, apparently, as well as we are being led to believe he is. We don't know very little. We don't know very much. What we do know is that about 7:20 this morning in Los Angeles, he was coming down a hill in an L.A. suburb, in an L.A. neighborhood, and his car apparently hit a curve and then hit the median and rolled over several times. He had to be pried out of the car and was airlifted to a local hospital. We will update you as we get more information as we move throughout the afternoon. Our phone lines are open at 855-242-7285. We spoke to Mark Schlabel about the Tiger Woods situation a few minutes ago. We've also had Ross Bjork on, the director of athletics at Texas A&M. Let's get back to the calls. And Joseph is up next in Pennsylvania. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, long-time listener, first-time caller. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
I used to listen to it when I was in Kandahar. I spent 22 years in the infantry.
Joseph, let me hold on a second. If I may interrupt, tell me. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it. How were you able to listen over in Kandahar?
Online.
Okay.
We had to stream it.
That is really interesting. I can only imagine what life is like over there, but how often were you, the time difference is what, 10 hours more?
About 14 hours.
14 hours, okay.
Yeah, so, about that.
Okay.
But, you know, everybody watched certain shows, and I'm an Alabama fan, and, you know, to me, you represent the SEC, so I wanted to listen to the Feinbaum Show.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Plus, I outranked everybody else. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nothing they could do with it. No, I did four pumps, tours between Iraq and Afghanistan. However, my question is...
Okay.
Alabama's on a roll in basketball. Do you believe that, I mean, Kentucky's picking up some speed. Do you think they might be the dark horse in the SEC tournament?
Yeah, tournaments are always difficult to gauge. Certainly, a lot of it has to do with desire, and it doesn't always work that way. Remember a couple of years ago, you had that, Tennessee and Auburn were probably the two best teams in the league, and they ended up meeting in the conference title game. So, you know, sometimes it goes chalk, and then sometimes you see a team run through the tournament that has no business getting through all the way. In 2008, that infamous tournament where Georgia, with no chance of winning, ended up winning it, having to play two games in one day because of the tornado, and found itself in the NCAA tournament. So I think Kentucky would be a pretty dangerous team over there. But can they do it 3 or 4 days in a row?
I don't know. That's why you're more of, you know.
Let me ask you about this, Joseph. Alabama, I think it's some of it depends on, you know, what is left for them. What I mean by that is they are going to win the SEC regular season. Are they playing for a number one seed? That's a motivation. If they, you know, let's say they lose tomorrow night and maybe drop one more game and don't really have a chance for a number one seed and are sitting there on the two line and probably doesn't matter whether they win the tournament or lose in the first round, you know, they'll end up being a two seed. That can affect the mindset, even though coaches will tell you that, you know, we're here to win. Players are smart. They know what's going on.
And I agree. And the reason I called and brought up this question is because of times I've been deployed. Every now and then, if you're looking at a tragedy, you have to move the momentum away from it so that you can relate to the tragedy, but move forward, if that makes any sense.
Let me ask you that, Joseph, because you said you had 22 years in the, is that right?
Yeah. 22 years, 8 months.
Okay. How do you do that, though? Not to put you on the spot, but, and I realize you're a professional, you're trained by the best people in the world, but it's still difficult, I'm sure.
Injuries, I mean, even more so losses, you have to kind of misdirect. You set on what they're doing well, like Tiger Woods, for instance, great father, one of the greatest golfers ever, one of my favorites. However, what's going on with them right now, I guess you can either polarize it and just get really scared, or you can kind of just talk about the good things.
Well said, Joseph. Let me thank you for not only your service to this country and for our peace, but thank you for sharing that. And I do hope you'll call again.
I will, Mr. Feinbaum. I will. And I'll leave you with two words. Roll Tide.
I hear you. Thank you very much. I've heard those occasionally in my life. You be well. You take care of yourself. 30 years in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll do that for you. We're up against a break. We still have 2 hours to go. We hope you'll join us at 855-242-7285. Coming back with more.